cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. I'm Brian Fields, and with me, as always, is Kellen Finney. And this week, we've got a very special guest, kingpin and founder of Gentleman Smugglers, Barry Foy. Barry, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Good, man. It's really, it's going to be fun to talk with you guys. I've listened to some of y'all's podcasts. Y'all kind of dive deep, and that's what it takes to learn about this business. You know, it's a very complicated one. So, yeah, this is going to be fun.
So, Barry, typically when we dive in, I ask the guests to describe how they got into the cannabis industry and if there was any hesitations. But given your unique history and experience, I'd prefer we do it a little differently. With one sentence, can you describe the Gentleman Smugglers, how big the organization was and kind of the goal or how it started?
Well, you know, it started in the early 70s, and the goal was just to kind of get the plant to folks that were in need. You know, I kind of started out selling to a lot of GIs that were shipping out to Vietnam back in the early 70s. And that's kind of how I got my start. And one thing led to another as far as, you know, how that evolved into tons and tons of cannabis. It started out with very simple roots, but grew as kind of people's attitude changed as the 70s. You know, it was a kind of a cultural revolution of sorts, 60s and 70s, and the people loved cannabis, and so it was kind of a natural fit for me. My background early on with dealing with people on a small level, I love working with people that I've worked with over the years, and so it's been fun. It was really a very simple way that I got into it, and I just kept the ball rolling. And one, it's like climbing that ladder, you know, one rung after another. And the next thing I know, you know, we got a fleet of boats and crews and people all over the world doing cannabis business. And so it started with humble beginnings and ended in a fairly massive scale.
Can you give some context when you say massive scale, just for our listeners?
Well, the government, you know, says that we were, you know, up there around 200 tons of cannabis and maybe 50 or 60 or 70 tons of hashish from Lebanon. So we were kind of, I would say, global in the end, for sure, before the feds finally caught up with us. But massive amounts, tractor-trailer loads, you know, large ship loads. And so it was fairly big, but it also was, to me, as I look back, a reminder of, it was always, we never had enough. It's not like today, like it's very competitive in the legal world. We never had enough. People are always going, "What? When's the next trip? When's the next load? When are we going to be there again?"
From 1971 to 1986, I read your team imported over 250 tons valued at over $1 billion. And at age 21, you had your first $1 million in cash. If those information is correct, what is it like as a 21-year-old having $1 million in cash?
It was eye-opening, to say the least. It was something that, I guess it'd be like winning the lottery, you know, the Powerball or something. And what the hell are we going to do with all this? Fortunately, as I made money, I put a lot of my money back into the business, keep things going, which was, something that, you know, I did to build on my, on the group I was working with and what our goals were. And the pressure that was on us to keep supply available for the people that we, you know, kind of came up with, so to speak, and that were distributors on the East Coast. We distributed, well, really from Chicago, mostly west of the Mississippi. We were everywhere, you know, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, New Jersey, Boston, Washington, D.C., on and on. So we had quite a bit of customers to take care of. And having that kind of money at an early age really kind of prepared me for what was to come, because that was just kind of like a drop in the bucket compared to what it was became 10 years later, and what we were doing 10 years later. And that money was good, but it was also part of just, it wasn't something that I sat around and dwelled on, you know, gosh, we got this. It was kind of just gave me more tools in the tool chest, so to speak. Now, yes, we had a good time, and money never was an object. You know, if we wanted to jump on a jet, we'd jump on our private jet. If we had a boat we wanted to be on, we had our own boats and cars and whatnot. But I used a lot of my money to reinvest, to build the business. And so it required a lot. When you had a lot of people that were working for you and you had a lot of a fleet of boats, et cetera. So there was quite a large amount of expenses involved.
Let's do a quick rapid fire.
Go ahead.
True or false, you can be both a gentleman and a smuggler.
True.
Favorite purchased item, good or toy during your smuggling days?
Porsches.
One particular?
All of them.
Best weed you've ever smoked?
Blue Dream.
Product or idea that you always wanted to make happen but can never could?
That's a good question. I'm still chasing it. Old school hash.
Bigger challenge, smuggling hundreds of tons and avoiding 5 government agencies or compliance in the legal cannabis industry?
That's easy, compliance.
The most beautiful place you've ever visited?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one there. I thought that St. Bart's down in the Caribbean was always one of the most beautiful places that I'd ever been. So if you know St. Martin, St. Bart's, yeah.
Dream smoking session, 3 people dead or alive?
Jesus Christ. Well, Jimi Hendrix would be one for sure.
You don't want to put Jesus as the second one? Or
no, baby Jesus, maybe. You know. Ricky Bobby.
That's so awesome.
No. Probably Jimi Hendrix and Will Ferrell. That would be my favorite 2 or 3.
Is there any countries you felt like with money and your relationships you could get around anything?
The Bahamas.
True or false, in Lebanon, you paid both sides, the military and the rebels, long enough to load your boat.
That's true.
Is that easy or hard?
Well, it went through their connections that we had there. They were given the money to take care of that. And when the time came that it was time to load, then they understood that both sides were going to get money. They needed to stop to get paid. And so yeah, I guess shows you what money can do.
Pretty much anything.
Yes.
As operating in the legal cannabis market surprised you?
Is operating in the legal market surprised me?
Yeah.
It took me a while to adjust to the fact that it was actually, I could talk about it in the open. You know, it was something that it took me a while, but so the surprise was slow and a slow coming surprise. Yeah.
When someone reaches for your brand, what do you want them to expect?
Quality would be at the top of the list. And also options. I want to have some options. Like we're now producing vape carts. We do 8s, pre-rolls. We'll have a concentrate coming out sometime in the next couple of months. I really want people to have choices because so many people have different ways of consuming today. And that premium choices would be how I describe that.
What are there any other future states that you're looking at besides New Mexico that we spoke about earlier?
Well, we talked about New Mexico earlier. Missouri, we've looked at folks in Missouri. It's a very good state to be in from a business standpoint, but it's also very difficult to get into. That's how we've kind of found it so far. We'd love to be in New York and New Jersey when things start to kind of come together. I think they're a little bit scattered right now.
Barry, for our listeners, they want to get in touch. They want to buy Gentleman Smugglers products. Where can they find you?
Bass, go on our website. We have a locator. We're here in Massachusetts right now, soon to be in New Mexico. Hopefully it's on our website, gentlemansmugglers.com. go take a look, try us out. So far, we've really been we've been happy with the responses we've gotten from our consumers. I constantly hear it when I'm on the road. I do these little mini tours, and we're in, I think we're close to 60 dispensaries in Massachusetts. So there's one near you.
Awesome. We'll link it all in the show notes. Thanks for taking the time. This was fun.
Hey, man, I enjoyed it. It was good seeing y'all. Nice meeting you, and I hope to see you in person.
Likewise. Yes, sir.
Guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast over the last few years, can you please take 3 minutes or less and leave us a quick review on Apple or Spotify? All reviews make a massive difference for us and help other people like you find this podcast. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Tune into a major journey podcast today, where guests take listeners on journeys and immerse themselves in the roller coaster ride both in and out of the cannabis space that brought them to where they are today. Throughout our conversations, guests share valuable lessons that they've learned along the way that listeners can use to empower growth both in their personal and professional lives. Check out A Major Journey today on all major podcast platforms.